This is a CBC podcast.
We continue to learn more details about a cabinet minister who brought a gun into the Saskatchewan legislature. A week ago, political columnist Murray Mandrick said it was time for Jeremy Harrison to speak up.
If it's not true, then go out and say it's not true. I don't know if it's not true. I don't know if he parked his car in front of the legislature, jumped out in hunting fatigues, walked up past the front desk and basically with a gun and carried on elsewhere. How would I know?
Well, it turns out that's exactly what's described in an email released this week by the speaker. It says the cabinet minister nearly caused a security alert. Plus, teachers have said no to the latest contract offer from the government. For more on all of that, we've reached our political panel. Murray's away this week. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan. And Jeremy Symes is the Saskatchewan correspondent with the Canadian Press here in Regina. They're both in studio with me now. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Busy week, Adam.
Yes, I'll say.
What's the latest from teachers?
So last night we found out the results of the vote from teachers. 88% turnout according to the STF. 55% said no to the latest contract offer. The STF saying that the message that sends is that teachers weren't satisfied, that there more needs to be done on the government side as far as the offer goes on classroom size, complexity. That's coming from Samantha Beacott. We're expecting to hear more from her later this morning. And the government has also responded. Jeremy Cockerell put out a statement last night saying they're disappointed that the STF membership did not agree to a contract offer that was negotiated by the STF and recommended by the STF, and that they'll have more to say on this, we expect also this morning.
And Jeremy, that was the big difference, right, is that this time the STF endorsed the contract. What do we know about why?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the STF's tone in the first offer and that first rejection was quite strong. And this time it's, you know, a little bit more tepid. They're saying this is what members want. It's 55% rejection, so lower than the 90% from the first time, that first offer. But the second offer, it was extra $18 million for classroom complexity through the multi-level funding agreement. There was going to be a minister's task force to give teachers and parents a voice, a policy table of violence-free classrooms, and that signed accountability framework between all parties. Now, the first offer didn't have those items, but what didn't change between both was the wage issue. So a wage increase 3% in year one and year two, and an increase of 2% in year three. So that remained unchanged between both offers here.
What do we know about what's next?
So the teachers previous to this vote voted 95% in favor of sanctions and that to continue them into the fall. So if there's no agreement, we could see more job action in the fall. The government has said that they're not going to let grads be affected if there is further job action. And the STF's, some of their communication, I understand, has said that there could be more further job action if there's no heading back to the bargaining table, that they've put an offer out to the GTBC and the government to say, let's get back to the bargaining table. Let's try and work this out. Judging by the vote, it doesn't seem like they're super far apart. There's, you know, the previous vote was overwhelmingly rejected, the quote unquote final offer. So I think what we're seeing here is something that, it's a wait and see. There's been some movement, obviously, but still a no from the majority of teachers, albeit a slim majority.
We also learn more about Jeremy Harrison's trip to the legislature with a gun. What's the latest this week, Jeremy?
Right. So a lot happened. Let's just say yeah. That. There's a lot. I guess what the latest was is Minister Harrison came out Friday, that was last week, admitting that he did bring the gun.
That was after what we heard from Murray. I think it was later in the morning in Meadow Lake, right?
Right, exactly. But on Monday, the Premier had to face some questions because he initially said everything was unequivocally false, but we learned, well, that wasn't true. You know, he did.
That was unequivocally false.
Yeah. So, you know, we had to ask the Premier about that, and he stood by Minister Harrison. He said, you know, well, this is what he remembered at the time, and I believed him. We all got to speak with Mr. Harrison on Monday, and he said, well, you know, I was speaking with my family. They helped jog my memory, and that's when I remembered, okay, I did bring this gun in. There was still some inconsistencies, though, in what he said there, and we then, I think it was a few days later, we got an email from the former acting sergeant-at-arms from the legislature saying, you know, Minister Harrison did come up wearing camouflage clothing. He approached security. They didn't know who he was at the time until he looked up. They were about to sound their walkie-talkie being like, there's a gun in the building. They didn't do that. And so he just kept walking. And then he says, you know, in his statement that there was knowledge security had that he had this gun. And there's some questions around, well, what kind of knowledge? You know, security never says in this email from the former sergeant at arms that they were notified about this. So those, that was the big indiscrepancy this week.
And how did we get the details if in that email?
Well, it came from the speaker. Speaker Weeks sent an email out to Jeremy, myself, other media members. It also appeared on social media. And so that's how this has kind of come to light. And some further details, you know, we heard from Minister Harris on Monday. I spoke to him and he said this happened about 10 years ago. We asked what kind of gun it was. He said, well, it was probably a shotgun because I was shooting birds. It would have been the fall. Well, it turns out that he was going hunting for coyotes with the speaker, former speaker Dan Dotremont. That's in the email from the acting sergeant at arms, and that it happened in April on a Thursday at noon. And he had previously kind of suggested, well, maybe it was the weekend. Now, people are going to go, well, April, the House was sitting, and it was actually the year of the election, 2016. So they hadn't resumed the sitting until May. But still, Thursday, it was a work day. He walked up, walked past security, as Jeremy described in that email. Security was, you know, pretty alarmed by the situation. And when we spoke to Minister Harrison on Monday, he kind of said, you know, I didn't remember that I did this when it first came up because the speaker was throwing all these allegations at me in the House. Well, we're now 2+ weeks after this happened, and it's still in the news cycle. It's still happening, and it doesn't really have a sense of, I don't see it slowing down.
The opposition has been asking for some kind of independent inquiry into all of this so we can know exactly what happened. Where are we at with things there?
Yeah, so the opposition has asked Speaker Randy Weeks to bring back the House Services Committee. So this is a committee chaired by Randy Weeks. Jeremy Harrison's a member. And it's just a committee that deals with the business of the House, essentially. And so what the opposition plans to do is, if Randy Weeks does call back this meeting, they'll bring forward maybe a motion or something to call a third-party investigation into this, maybe bring in some witnesses and that sort of thing. Here's the thing, though, is that committee is mostly made up of government members, so it's not likely that they're going to allow this to happen. They have the majority. They can vote any of that down. Now, what the Premier has said is Mr. Weeks can go to the legislative clerk instead and file a complaint that way and have the legislature investigate the harassment issues, and that could go to maybe the Board of Internal Economy, for example. If Mr. Weeks is going to do that, I don't know. But that's where the NDP is at, and they say this investigation will answer a lot of these more unanswered questions we have.
What are you expecting in terms of further review of all of this? Because, of course, not just the gun, which was the most salacious, but it's trying to influence rulings by a speaker who's supposed to be impartial.
And that's been asked to the Premier and put to the Premier this week on Monday. Had a pretty lengthy, I would say, back and forth with the reporters about this. Another cabinet shuffle as Joe Hargrave stepped down from cabinet and they had to find a new cabinet minister, Terry Jensen, there. But the Premier said that, you know, when it comes to the bullying, harassment allegations, you know, that's something that also Jeremy Harrison said is unequivocally false. He said everything under the other than this gun incident is unequivocally false. But I spoke with Sean Tucker, who's the occupational health and safety professor at the University of Regina, who is speaking more about the bullying harassment allegations. He said this is a workplace. It's sending a signal to other workplaces in the province, including Crowns. Hey, if you're an employer and there's allegations of workplace harassment, which Randy Weeks made on the record in Hansard, that he shouldn't have to file a formal complaint. That is his complaint. Let's look into this now. And that if the government doesn't do this, if they're not curious about it, if they're not investigating it, then they're sending a really bad message to employers. And they're also sending a bad message to the next speaker. And we talked about that last week. And the Premier kind of said, well, you know, maybe this got away from us. I take responsibility for that. There was a communication breakdown. I know Minister Harrison told me, well, we used to have breakfasts with Dan Dotremont back in the day. That's 3 speakers ago. And Jeremy Harrison's been the House leader for quite some time. So this has all happened while Jeremy Harrison's been the House leader and the Premier's been there. And so it'll be interesting to see if the government has an appetite to look into this and if the Speaker does decide to follow what the NDP is saying and say, okay, let's convene this committee and put it in the government's hands.
Thanks for coming in today, you guys.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.